Welcome back to the Sports Line here across ESPN Radio in Virginia. It is Ed Lane. Rich Roth has stepped away for just a little bit. We might see him back later. We might not. But we are rolling along here across ESPN Radio in Virginia. College Football Playoff Selection Committee has our College Football Playoff, and the Selection Committee have made the decision. Alabama's in. Ohio State is out. I don't really see there being much of a gripe either way. And a guy that has had a chance to study this even more than we have, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, joining us here on the Sports Line. Adam, did they get it right is the million-dollar question.
I think they did, and they sent a statement, or they really made a statement with the selections in that it's not all about profile. We spent a lot of time comparing profiles and wins over ranked opponents and so forth, but it really is who are the four best, who looks like a top four team consistently. And Alabama, even though it struggled down the stretch, looked like a top four team for much of the year, whereas Ohio State had two games where it did not look anything like a top four team against Oklahoma and especially the loss to Iowa. So even though Ohio State had unequivocally, to use their term, a stronger profile, Alabama looked like a better team, and that's why they went with the Tide over the Buckeyes.
When you mentioned that eyeball test, is that something that goes into this that maybe makes us in the media and certainly fans a little bit uneasy because that's so subjective and very hard to quantify?
Well, yeah, but I think when you go into everything saying we're looking for the four best teams, that's what it comes back to. And let's be honest, the people that are driving these selections in that room are former coaches. It used to be Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez in the first committee, and now it's guys like Frank Beamer. Those are the opinions that really resonate in that room. And I think that's what ultimately swayed them towards Alabama, because those people said, hey, listen, we've watched these two teams over the course of the season, and we just think Alabama's a better team than Ohio State. And the other thing to remember, too, we haven't had a two-loss team get into the playoff. I think there's always this opportunity for redemption if you lose once. But if you lose twice, especially in the fashion that Ohio State did, it's very, very hard to recover. And you see that in that they won the Big Ten championship. They looked good and really good in a win over Michigan State. They beat Michigan. They beat Wisconsin. But they still had that second major stumble, which was too much to overcome in terms of getting into the playoff.
Is it just the second stumble, or is it the fact that both of these losses were not even close in their contests?
Well, again, I think it's that second loss. I think you can survive the first one. Ohio State survived the first one in 2014. You look at some of the other teams that got, Georgia survived a blowout loss this year and got into the playoff. Oklahoma survived the home loss to Iowa State. So you can have a loss, even a bad loss. You just can't have two blowout losses. And that second loss, not only was it a blowout, but it was to a team that the committee, just didn't regard very well. And that was an unranked Iowa team. And it just was too much to overcome. That's how I looked at it. I thought Ohio State, and I saw them in the Big Ten championship game, it's a really talented team. They may be better than they were last year, even, in terms of how high they could achieve. But we know that their floor is lower. We know that last year's Ohio State team did not have two clunkers like they had this year against Oklahoma and especially Iowa, and that's ultimately why they're not getting in.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com joining us at ESPN Rittenberg to follow him on Twitter. When you look at the rest of the New Year's Six bowl games, particularly the fact that you've got some of these teams left out in there, which of the matchups most excite you? Which of the Power Six bowl games that's there is the one where you're going, I'm not sure I'm going to make it through?
Well, I think the it's interesting. There's the Rose Bowl this year is a non-traditional matchup because it's the semifinal, but the two Big Ten Pac-12 matchups in the New Year's Six are very, very intriguing. You have Ohio State and USC, the two conference champions from Power Five leagues that didn't make the playoff, going at it in the Cotton Bowl. I think that's a fascinating matchup with Sam Darnold, possibly his last game as the Trojans quarterback, a very coveted guy for next year's NFL draft. You're going against a very good Buckeye defense. You have JT Barrett back on his home soil of Texas in his final game in a seemingly endless college career against the USC defense that looked really good at times this year. So I think that's a really good one. Also, Penn State and Washington. So Penn State's one of these teams. I mean, again, they had understandable losses this year, two close losses, but they didn't have really too many signature wins. And this is a great opportunity for both Penn State and Washington, which only had, I would say, one signature win against Washington State in the Apple Cup, to really validate themselves as borderline top five, but certainly a top 10 team, the winner of this game. So I'm really excited for those two matchups.
Adam Rittenberg with us here on the Sports Line from ESPN.com, college football writer and reporter. Other bowl matchups that have jumped out off the chart, certainly to us, it's the doubleheader same day, actually, where Virginia and Navy will square off, and then Virginia Tech and Oklahoma State. Give us the lowdown first on the Cavaliers and the caliber of a matchup. Is this, an appropriate end to a 6-6 year two for Bronco Mendenhall?
Yeah, I mean, again, both Virginia really struggled down the stretch. I don't need to tell you that. And then they go play an Navy team that also struggled down the stretch. So both teams, pretty good on defense. Virginia has the capability of scoring points. I mean, they had a pretty good offensive showing for most of that Miami game before kind of falling apart at the end. So it's a road game for them, going basically to Navy for this bowl. But it would be a good way to build some momentum for year three if they're able to win it. I'm a lot more excited, to be honest, about the Virginia Tech Oklahoma State game. I love the contrast in styles and the fact that Virginia Tech is so dynamic on defense. They always are under Bud Foster, and a lot of outstanding players on that side of the ball. And then Oklahoma State, one of the best offenses in the country, Mason Rudolph's final game, James Washington's final game. So that offense against the Hokie defense will really take the stage there in that bowl.
It should be fun to watch in that contest. The initial concern that I would say is got to be floating around our neck of the woods, Adam, is Virginia Tech having the offensive firepower. If this starts to climb up there a little bit in terms of score and points, how big of a concern should that be for the Hokies?
Yeah, significant concern, because I don't think they can keep up on the scoreboard. Oklahoma State's defense gets some flack at times, but they also can make plays. They can force turnovers. They can pressure the quarterback. And you don't want to get into a situation where you're trading touchdowns with them, because their receiving core will really stress even the best secondaries. There are so many options. Marcel Aitman is a guy that doesn't get as much attention as James Washington, but he's one of the most dangerous players in the red zone in the country. So this is going to be a real challenge for that defense. And then Josh Jackson and the offense are going to have to find ways to put up points, because you're not going to hold Oklahoma State down for four quarters.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com with us here on the Sports Line. Two other bowl matchups, when you initially looked at it, that pique your interest outside of the big-time matchups. Who are they, and why should we make sure we carve out some time and maybe sneak away from the family for them?
Yeah, no, I think the Alamo Bowl is usually entertaining. I think this year is no exception with Stanford and TCU. Great coaches in David Shaw and Gary Patterson. I was really impressed with Stanford's young quarterback, KJ Costello, in the Pac-12 championship game against USC, even in defeat. You have Bryce Love. Hopefully he plays. He's a really fun player to watch, running back for Stanford. And then TCU also can run the ball at a high level. So that's certainly one that I'll be watching. I'm trying to think of the other good. I mean, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State's definitely one that will intrigue me. And I think the Holiday Bowl with Michigan State and Washington State, two teams that at least in Michigan State's case really redeemed itself this year. And Washington State was a game away from winning the Pac-12 North. So I'm excited to see those two styles, very different styles of offense, going at it with the Cougars and the Spartans.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, kind enough to carve a little time out for us here on the Sports Line. We've got to get to the coaching carousel stuff, and we'll start off with the one that has had the most local impact because of the ACC, with Jimbo Fisher leaving. Is this Willie Taggart's job to lose, as your colleague Edward Ashoff of ESPN has reported that he is not only near the top of the list, but is meeting with FSU?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's also a situation where it would be hard for him to go back to Oregon at this point. So, there's definitely incentive on both sides to possibly get a deal done. But Florida State could certainly look at other candidates. We've heard some names there, but it really does seem to be focused, at least at this point, on Willie Taggart. You know, he makes a lot of sense for the job. Offensive guy from the state of Florida, can recruit really well. You can see the talent he's built up at South Florida, even as a Group of Five program. So he's had a good track record with quarterbacks. And I think Florida State needed to get a little younger on its coaching staff, and he'll be able to do that.
How ironic, huh, that Florida State may get a guy because he couldn't turn around, just like Jimbo Fisher seemingly did that in his departure.
Sure, yeah, that's coaching, you know. But I think Willie will walk in there and maybe not have the same issues that Jimbo had with the support and the administration. I think he'll click with Athletic Director Stan Wilcox. You could see today in Jimbo's press conference at Texas A&M that clearly he wanted a fresh start. Clearly the relationship he had with Scott Woodward, their athletic director, was better than the administrative relationship he had at Florida State.
Adam Rittenberg with us here on the Sports Line. Adam, final question for you, and we do appreciate your carving some time out for us. What ends up happening with Tennessee?
You know, right now it's anyone's guess. I mean, there's so many names being thrown out for that job. You know, Phil Fulmer is in control, and I'm hearing he's talking to a lot of different candidates, but it's got to be somebody who can walk in and handle a splintered fan base and a lot of raw emotions there in Knoxville. I mean, obviously you want to build the team and recruit and do all the things you need to do to win, but you also have to walk in there and likely deal with some backlash because you're not John Gruden and you're not Chip Kelly. And you have to take a coach with a lot of strength of character to be able to do that.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, at ESPN Rittenberg to follow him on Twitter. Adam, appreciate your time. Thanks for carving some out for us to go around college football, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, with us here on the Sports Line. Yeah, you know, for Florida State, and I know we talked about this Friday on the Sports Line, with the possibility of Justin Fuente leaving there. For one, I don't, not that he won't leave, but I think the culture of Virginia Tech kind of jives a little bit better with him than the culture of Florida State or most of these other big-time programs. And the upside is there. It's, I mean, there is definitively more opportunity to win at a higher level, bring in higher-end talent, and position yourself better for long-term success in that area. The drawback to all of that, and this is twofold. For one, fan expectations are not only higher, but you have more of them, and they're more outlandish than what you would get in Blacksburg, where, you know, a lot of Virginia Tech fans that I know, and, you know, we'll poke fun at them at times, but a lot of them that I know kind of understand what they are as a program and that they're not going to be positioned to carry a program the same way that Southern Cal or Alabama or FSU or Florida or any of those programs that are in elite recruiting areas with abundant resources are. The flip side is I think the administration and Whit Babcock, you know, clearly seems adept at knowing what his program is and finding guys that can come in there and provide stability, game plans for long-term success, and knowing how to identify that and get resources. You know, they have that drive for $25 million, the campaign effort that they're going on, you know, annually with Virginia Tech to get up their endowment and their athletic budget. You know, put all that together, and I think the expectations are much more in check. And from what I gather, probably fit Justin Fuente's personality a lot better. And I don't think it ever, I never thought it was going to get to that point because, you know, Adam Rittenberg questioning whether Willie Taggart can go back to Oregon. There were too many tea leaves, as they like to say. Too many reports, too many, you know, so-called experts, people that follow this, your Adam Rittenbergs, they're your Ryan McGee's and people of that nature, that follow these things 24/7, even, you know, your Tomahawk Nation or your more dedicated Florida State fan sites, where a lot of the attention heading into this coaching search was really pointed on the fact that Willie Taggart is from Florida, seemed to be itching to go back there, and despite Nike and Phil Knight giving Oregon an unlimited budget, you still have a lot of those resources available at Florida State, and that all that seems to appeal to him. And, you know, I thought last Friday when we discussed this and made the comments that Willie Taggart would be the guy, and nothing has happened to really deviate that that will be the case. And even if he's not, you know, I don't see Justin Fuente being the choice for them. So, you know, and he sure as heck's not leaving Virginia Tech for Arkansas, which is not a lateral move. That's a step down. In Tennessee, yes, they've got a national title in the last 20 years and have a lot of history, but they're also a much bigger dumpster fire and don't have the stability and leadership anywhere close to it to what Whit Babcock has provided for Virginia Tech. So, you know, I think we're pretty much in the clear that Justin Fuente is going to be back in Blacksburg at least for another season, and that it would take, you know, again, a very premium caliber job for him to leave. I think he's much more in the mold of one of his predecessors, Gary Patterson at TCU, where he's happy to be in an area where it's pretty good recruiting. Maybe you're a second or third choice for a recruit, because in Texas, you know, your top choices are probably going to A&M or Oklahoma or Texas or Alabama or LSU. But, you know, relatively speaking, there's enough talent to go around that you can still get that and you develop it with your culture and your system that you feel pretty good about it. And I tend to think that kind of influence has had a much bigger impact on Justin Fuente. And even more so, I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to bolt after a couple of years on the job. You know, not to say that this will never happen, because I've always thought if Notre Dame opened up, you know, I think he could be a very good fit there. I just don't see him leaving for any job, and I think certainly he's the kind of guy that would want to feel like he's gotten as much out of Blacksburg, or at least close to it, and is clearly confident that he's leaving for a better gig, and I just don't think he's got the answers to that right now. I think he's much more of a slow and steady wins the race kind of philosophy, and from everybody we've talked to and the information they've provided, that's what that seems to be with him. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a quick little blip on the NFL and then covering the Commonwealth, all still to come right here on the Sports Hunt.